Now for another installment in our online series, Scientist at Work, in which scientists check in from the field to talk about their research. Joining us is my colleague Claudia Brockholt.
Dr. Alexander Kumer is a British medical doctor overwintering at Concordia Station in Antarctica. He conducts scientific research for the European Space Agency for a future mission to Mars. He writes about his experience for the Scientist at Work blog and joins us today via Skype. Alex, being the coldest place on Earth, Antarctica certainly is a challenging location to conduct scientific research. Can you talk a bit about why you wanted to go there and what fascinates you about this area?
Well, I think ever since being a boy of 5 years old and reading the story of Sir Captain Robert Falcon Scott, the British explorer who famously passed away on his voyage back from the South Pole, and since becoming a doctor, certainly the science produced by Dr. Edward Wilson, another British doctor, and in fact the first doctor to the South Pole, inspired me. Coming to this particular area of Antarctica really was a dream and a great opportunity to come and learn about the real Antarctica, about the world's harshest and coldest and most extreme and isolated environment, and with it, the science that can be done there, which, you know, may be able to one day help us forge a path towards Mars and, more importantly, a return trip.
So you are the cruise doctor at Concordia Station. Can you explain a bit more about the tasks you have there?
Yeah, I'm the only British member of a crew of 13, that's 13 people, of which there's French, Italians, one Russian, and myself, a British Indian. So we have five nationalities on the base. I'm the cruise doctor, as well as being the European Space Agency sponsored research MD. So day to day, as well as handling anything that comes up in terms of medical requests, from minor ailments through to potential emergencies, my role is also to carry out a protocol for the European Space Agency's human spaceflight program. So with that comes the ability to look at both the physiology and psychology of myself and my crewmates over this 9-month period of isolation.
Apart from being a doctor, you're also conducting research. Can you talk a bit about the experiments you're doing there?
Of course. Well, each person carries out a protocol of experiments that have been designed all over Europe and some from the USA, in fact. This is a protocol set by the European Space Agency's Human Spaceflight Programme, and it incorporates every element from psychology through to physiology. So to give you examples, we do sleep studies looking at how people cope in terms of how their sleep patterns change over this difficult period, the overwintering experience in Antarctica. We do exercise looking for genetic changes, as well as pre and post exercise cognitive tasks. So using an iPod, for example, we have brain games which test the brain in certain ways. I can look at the effects at this altitude, at 3,800 meters equivalent altitude, the positive or negative effects produced by exercising, and having those tests performed both before and after exercise, as well as various other questionnaires testing people's psychology. I also carry out a long-term medical survey of the participants, the crew members here, my colleagues, as well as myself, so to monitor how the body adapts and acclimatizes over this period. So it's a multinational and also multifactorial scientific protocol that really tests the mind and body to understand the limits, and more so to understand how we adapt to such extreme conditions.
In one of your recent blog posts, you are talking about crew members who are free running, I think was the term. Can you explain what these crew members are going through and how you try to help them?
Well, it's if you think of it like a world map, we're not at the South Pole here, but you can walk around all the world's time zones when stood at the South Pole in a matter of seven or 8 meters. But down here in Concordia, in the darkness, and if you can imagine over 3 months of darkness, you're waking up with darkness at the window and you're living by artificial light. It's quite easy if you're not a busy person, in terms of if your role on the station is not as busy as other people's may be, to simply adopt your own time zone. Now, the body, as Michel Seif, a French cave expert, found on his studies performed in the 1960s and 70s by living underground in a cave for 6 months periods, which is incredible. But he discovered, chronobiology, a specific area of science and about human biology, that we all may have an internal body clock. This body clock has been estimated from anything between 24 and a half hours in length, similar to the Mars day cycle, which is very strange, through to 48-hour cycles, whereby, or 36-hour cycles even, whereby Michel Seif found that he would stay awake, and his colleagues may stay awake for anything up to 36 hours and then require a 12-hour sleep period. So it's a very interesting concept. And down here on the ground, and having lived through it, I've seen as well as experienced firsthand problems with sleep. And a process of free running can happen where people just, it almost can be described like being in a washing machine, but without a stop function, no automatic stop. The washing machine just goes round and round, and you cycle on through all the cycles on that machine. So it's the same way with the human body and sleep patterns here. They can really just flip from one time zone to the other. And like I wrote in the blog, you can get up in China and go to bed in Easter Island, all in the blink of an eye in this darkness.
So for you, what was the biggest challenge you had to face living at Concordia Station?
In order to study the plumbers, the plumber on the station goes to bed about 9 to 10 o'clock in the evening. So if I'm putting the sleep gear on him for the evening, that means that, you know, I may have to go to bed earlier in order to get up to start the research in the morning extra early for him at 6 or 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. Whereas the astronomer goes to bed, obviously, a lot later at 5 o'clock in the morning. And similarly, I may have to stay awake much later into the night. So it's difficult. We all have our different lives. Some people live out of time zone, but officially Concordia Station is East Coast China time, which for me makes no sense at all, but especially living in 24-hour darkness.
So the whole purpose of this mission and this and your challenging life in Antarctica is to be able to one day travel to Mars. What do you think? How far are we away from a manned mission to planet Mars?
For me, living down here in Concordia Station, it's not just a question of when we should go to Mars, but rather the reasons for going to Mars. Science must remain an underlining fundamental cause for us to go, and not the devastation that we're currently wreaking on our own planet as a reason to leave. So I guess for me, it's more about thinking why and how we should go to Mars as opposed to when.
Alexander Kumar is a British medical doctor at Concordia Station in Antarctica. You can read more about his work at the Scientists at Work blog. Thank you so much for joining us, Alex, and sharing all your research.
Thank you for having me, Claudia. Thank you.